file comes from the Blue Orchard Bee. We ask you to respect the copyright of this file, which belongs to the Charlotte Mason Institute, Andres Smith and Danielle Merritt Sanseri. The file is for personal use only. You may share with family, friends, and colleagues, but do not publish the material in any format, including in any electronic format, such as website, blogs, or otherwise, without permission from the Charlotte Mason Institute, Andres Smith, or Danielle Merritt Sanseri. Please note the views expressed in these files do not necessarily reflect the views of the Charlotte Mason Institute, Andres Smith, or Danielle Merritt Sanseri. It is important that you remember that information provided on this file is not intended to represent or to be construed or received as professional advice in matters of mental health. You are encouraged to work closely with a licensed mental health provider that fits your needs. Welcome to this week's session of the Blue Orchard Bee. This week, Danielle continues building our library of stories with a contribution from an anonymous pollinator. Don't forget about the CMI conference in June. Sign up on the CMI website. Remember that the sessions are available for free listening 1 month after the conference is finished for those who registered for the conference. Now, let's listen to what Danielle has to share this week.
Today, I'd like to share with you the second in our library of stories. This one comes from an anonymous member of our pollinator community. She writes, "I expected that we would start school like my elder two had, using the same curricula that we had always used, but more Charlotte Mason-y, since I had never homeschooled my elder two with Mason. I learned about Mason when the elder two had enrolled in an Ambleside school and was eager to try it in the home setting. I had no idea I'd have to make adjustments and really felt disenfranchised with the whole method in a relatively short period of time. I felt like something was wrong with me, that I couldn't make this work. Everyone kept telling me to give it more time, but I knew that something was wrong. I knew that this wasn't like homeschooling the other two. This child could not retain math facts, no matter how many times we drilled them. He'd remember some one day and forget them the next, no matter how consistent we were. Handwriting was so traumatic for him, I had to bribe him to do it. We were using sing, spell, read, and write, and there was a lot of writing in it. I know that this curriculum wasn't Charlotte Mason, but I didn't know at the time how to teach reading with her method. We had reversals in both numbers and letters, but I'd always heard that that was normal until about age 8. Still, it worried me. Narration was an exercise in frustration. I tried smaller passages for narration, but we just weren't ever making any progress. I tried the, well, I guess you just won't know the ending, suggestion, implying that he wasn't focusing and could if he just tried harder, which completely backfired because he was trying his best. The diagnostician said that he was trying twice as hard as most kids with half the results. He's twice exceptional, and she said that she had never seen such a big disparity between strengths and weaknesses in 20 years of evaluating children. I was both relieved to know that I wasn't imagining that something was, quote, wrong, now I say different, but frustrated at how to adjust his education in a way that would honor him. The special needs conference was a game changer for us. I felt honored as a person, and even more importantly, I felt that my child's personhood was honored. I would say this past year has been amazing because of the Blue Orchard Bee. We both felt good about our school year, and he is becoming more independent in his reading, narration, and writing via computer. The child has, at this point, had an educational diagnostician evaluate him, and though she cannot diagnose, she expects that he has central auditory processing disorder, visual processing disorder, dysgraphia, dyscalculia, and dyspraxia. It means that we often have to read more than once, and sometimes a reread is all that it takes. If I'm reading to him, I only read a few paragraphs before asking for a retell. Depending on the length of the material, sometimes target questions are needed, such as, tell me about when Winston Churchill came to visit FDR at the White House. When he's reading to himself, I ask him to stop at the end of the page and narrate to me. I have at times asked him to get up and move around if he's stuck. I haven't noticed a marked difference in his narrations when he reads to himself. I do write down names and dates on a whiteboard so that those are not stumbling blocks for him. I try to pre-read the material that I ask him to read independently so that I have an idea how to help with narration if necessary. As a child with sensory processing sensitivity, he often needs more time to process, just as a normal part of his genetic makeup. He's never been officially diagnosed with central auditory processing disorder, and I am beginning to wonder if it's really sensory processing sensitivity and not auditory processing disorder, or perhaps it's a combination of both. Evaluation is cost prohibitive at this point. One reason I suspect this is that his long-term memory seems to work very well. It just seems to be the short-term memory that he struggles with. Something else worthy of note is that when he's watching something, say a documentary, something where he doesn't have to create the picture in his mind, he seems to retain it better. This child says that he always has both short and long-term recall. It's just a matter of getting it out of his mouth. We have to slow math down and use a calculator. I've tried many math programs throughout my three kids. This child is on his seventh. He seems to be reasonably strong conceptually. It's the computation that trips him up every time. We're still working on memory of timetables. We used to do 30 minutes of math instead of 20 because he was frustrated with what he was able to accomplish in 20 minutes. I'm not sure if that was a good move or not, but we're back to 20. So he needs a lot of practice, concrete problems, and permission to skip a problem if it's tripping him up. I'm not sure that just slowing down any math program would work for him. He needs immediate feedback and time to build confidence before giving him more challenging problems. Frankly, until CMI started the Blue Orchard Bee, I felt like a failure. I felt looked down upon by CM purists, and I was close to giving up. What I missed was the principles. I was following curriculum over principles. Adhering strictly to principle one, even at the expense of some other principles, has made all the difference in our homeschool. Sloyd was challenging for him. Plutarch, we're just beginning and not sure if we'll be able to continue. He doesn't like to draw unless it's in comic strips. He has always detested copy work, but is able to write for close to 10 minutes legibly now. He tolerates dictation. He's an avid reader, but a poor speller. He doesn't like to paint and prefers pencil sketching. We've done very little by way of written narration, although last term he did type his last few exam questions by himself. Prior to that, I would type them and he would make edits. He excels in Shakespeare and natural history, though he's never desired to keep a nature journal. He loves Apologia Junior textbooks and science encyclopedias like those put out by Usborne DK. He also enjoys poetry, especially humorous poetry, and we're starting Form 3 after Labor Day.
Thank you for joining us this week. We have enjoyed your company. We hope to see you online at the CMI conference. Don't forget about the 2021-2022 version of Charlotte Mason's Alvieri. We'll see you next time.